adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Who?
Dr. Bruce.
Yeah, you know him as Dr. Spaz, board certified physician. He's an addiction medicine specialist. He's also an emergency medicine specialist.
And an internist. Like Howard Dean.
Yeah. He's really more qualified than Dr. Drew. He actually is.
Has Drew drawn any parallels with Howard Dean being... We were all board certified in internal medicine in the early 80s, and it's a scary thing.
He's not brought his name up.
No.
Dr. Bruce is also does specialties with laser work, tattoo removal, and taking away wrinkles.
Photofacials, Botox.
Yeah. Oh, Botox. Oh, yeah, Botox. So here's the thing. If you have a question tonight, it has to do with a laser, Bruce could probably lend his...
Or you can go to drbruce.com and you can ask questions there. I also have help numbers for, like, suicide and other...
All right. You can do that. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Drew, who's, I don't know, in Utah or something at some ski chalet doing God knows what. So, Bruce, you going to be in tomorrow night, too?
And Tuesday. You're blessed, Adam.
Hold on. Three goddamn nights of you?
Yep.
We're a minute and 22 into this show if I hadn't asked for you.
Really?
No.
Can I say hi to my 7-year-old daughter, Elizabeth?
That would be impossible.
Okay.
I love Dr. Bruce. I really do. I call him Dr. Spaz, but I do it with all great affection, although I will get angry at him at some point during the time of the show. But that's only because he wants it, and he needs disciplining.
Hurt me, Adam.
All right. So, holy Christ, I lost more money today. I can't gamble. There's a movie out now with William H. Macy and dear friend Alec Baldwin called The Cooler. Yeah. I am the football gambling cooler.
I would have been on Philadelphia and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Indianapolis. That's what I would have.
Well, okay, here's what happens. I get sucked in. Here's how you get sucked in. I hang around with Cousin Sal the bookie all day, so it's hard when they're asking you casually. I'm putting something in. You want me to put something in for you? Mm. Want to put something in? Because here's the whole thing, really. When you're in the proximity of a bookie, it's like having a slot machine on wheels just following you around, and you got a handful of quarters, and the slot machine's going, you want to try one? You want to just put one in? And obviously, if the slot machine's not there, you just keep walking. But, you know, when you got first off, I lose. Every time I gamble, I lose. But secondly, although I did win the Super Bowl last year, that was after losing all year. I just said, let it all ride on the Super Bowl and got back to even. But I'm the same with gambling as I am with desserts or something. If someone says, if the waitress says, you want dessert, I say, No, thanks. I'm watching my calories. If the waitress brings out a dessert and sets it in front of me and says, a little compliment to the chef, it's gone.
It's all over.
So that's I've realized that's how I am, and probably that's how most people are.
Right, and then if you lose, you're going to make it up by this great bet the next time.
Right. So here's the thing. Pats are playing the Colts. Colts have been unstoppable, their offense, but Pats are tough at home. I have no feeling for this game exactly. I kind of like the Colts. I feel like they're going to put some points on the board. Manning's been playing so great. Man, they haven't punted the whole playoffs, not one punt. So I think that game's going to be pretty close. And then I got Carolina in Philly, and I'm thinking, geez, that's another tough game. That seems like a pretty hard-fought, close game. I kind of like Carolina a little. So Cousin Sal says, how about the teaser? And I said, well, what's the teaser now? What's the teaser? Because I've played the teasers before. Teaser sounds like guaranteed money.
Right.
Here's how the teaser goes. You get 6 points both ways. Here's the deal. You could take the Colts and get 9 points. Wow, 9 points. That's a lot. You know, Manning lighting up the scoreboard. The Pats going to have to beat
There's
him.
No way you think you can lose that.
Yeah, okay, that's 9 points. And then what's the other one? You can take Carolina and get 10 points. Oh, so all they have to do is two, you know, relatively close games. Hell, let the Pats win by a touchdown. Let Philly win by a touchdown. I still win. But besides, Carolina's probably going to win that game outright. Sure, sign me up. Now, so they're behind the Pats. The Colts are behind the Pats the whole game, but at the very end, pal, they put a score up, and now it's 14-21.
Right.
And it's like, I've covered. Yeah. We'll cover here. 2.5 minutes left. They go for the onside kick. They get it. They get the ball. They give it back. They give it. With 40 seconds left, the Pats are forced to kick a field goal. And, of course, what does that put them up by? 10 points. 10 goddamn points. And the second that game's over, I announced to the room of fans, listen, Carolina going to win outright. Because if you lose your first teaser game, the second one is going to come through. Now, obviously, I had Carolina in 10 points in the next teaser. So by halftime, I had like a 24-point lead.
So now what did Sal do? Did he win?
No, he lost too. We both lost at one goddamn point. But here's the thing, and then there's the knife twisting part where I said to the room, okay, now you realize Carolina's going to win the game. Because, of course, if Philly beats them and kills them, that 1 point doesn't, that's not a knife twist anymore, right? And so someone says, why don't you bet for Carolina? I did. I said, you want me to take you down? I'll bet them right now and have them lose.
They wouldn't do it.
You'll lose your money. Now, see, if I bet, they're gone.
Right.
I'll take them down. You should hope that I stay away from them so you can take your money.
The cooler.
Yeah, the cooler. Corolla the cooler. 1 goddamn point. 14-21 with 2.5 minutes left in the game. I mean, when it's 14-21 with 2.5 minutes left in the game and your money's on the team that's losing, you're thinking, we may get to overtime. We may tie this thing up if we can get the ball back. No, you don't.
You know, there's some good GA meetings. I sense a little loss of control, Adam.
Jennifer?
Hey, Dr. Bruce, actually, right?
Yo.
Adam,
are you Jennifer?
Actually, my...
All right. His phone line is effed up royally. Let's go on to the next guy.
That was Jennifer's boyfriend.
Dylan?
Yeah?
Yeah, why are we getting the feedback with the calls? Do you hear that, Bruce?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Hey, Dr. Bruce. Nice to talk to you, I guess. I got a question for you. I became sexually active kind of late, like around 19, I guess, which is pretty late for a guy. But
that's young for Bruce's crowd.
Yeah.
You're just a baby. Bruce started last week.
Oh, okay. I don't feel so bad then.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, ever since I started, I have never been able to get off to have an orgasm in an oral or, like, a hand job type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I was wondering if there's any room for that.
Maybe I haven't hooked up with the right fella.
Hope my 7-year-old's still not listening.
What?
Listen, here's the thing. Hand job, I don't blame you for. Oral, I'm outraged.
Yes.
But the hand job, look, there's a lot of guys, a high percentage of guys who, it ain't going to work unless it's insertion, yes?
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, that's you, Dylan.
Oh, that's
well, let me see if I can train you a little bit here.
Okay.
You have a girlfriend?
No, actually, I had girlfriends, and then I realized that I was gay, and I thought maybe that was the problem.
Oh.
But I still haven't been able to happen with a guy either.
I was joking when I said maybe I haven't found the right fella, but evidently not. So, have you ever been traumatized?
No.
All right. Just confused?
When did you start having sex?
19, jack off.
Yeah, 19 with girls and about 21 with guys.
And you've had an orgasm with penetration, is that right? At some point?
Well, with guys, yes. With girls, no.
Okay,
Well, wait a minute. Is your... I'm going to ask this. I'm going to be sensitive about this, but is your behymen intact?
Is my what?
Behymen. That's the male's hymen.
That's broken.
That's broken.
Are you usually the top or the bottom?
I've done both.
All right. And so you can have an orgasm with a guy having anal sex?
Yes.
But not with a girl?
No.
Okay. Well, I'd say your balls have decided... your sexual proclivity, and the guys have it. Yes?
Yes. Yes,
all right,
sense.
So why don't you... So you're going to stick with guys now, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you and you want to know why you can't have an orgasm through oral sex or manual manipulation with a guy. Quiet down, Bruce. You got to find a guy, fall in love, have a relationship, and then start working all that crap out.
Okay.
So it's not physiologic.
No.
It's an anxiety thing, probably. And,
yeah.
And some of these things are learned behaviors or practiced behaviors. And it's not an automatic thing that you come as a packaged sex machine and everything works just the way it should in any given situation.
Well, look at any facet of life, whether it's a friendship or a relationship with a therapist or a personal trainer or whoever it is. If you just want
from one to
first date to
right.
first workout to first tryout to first day of the job, how good would your relationship ever be? How good would your performance ever be?
Right. And then you have certain criteria. Well, I didn't have this happen on this encounter. What's wrong with me?
If you sort of think about your first day of school, your first day of work, your first date, your first whatever, it's never any, you know, it's your 10th one by the time you start to loosen up and hit your stride. It's the same physically.
Right. And this guy's interactions around sex are very confused up until a certain point. So there's got to be a lot of anxiety and a lot of insecurity.
You know, it's really weird from a societal standpoint, because we've managed to convince everybody, or at least the males, that one night stand is the best it's ever going to get sexually. I mean, in terms of the media and television,
right.
radio, movies, it's like, hey, man, that one night, man, if you could get her into the sack, it'd be the greatest thing ever. Every other facet of life, it's very clear that first time out, people don't even judge you. A quarterback that's a rookie that's coming off the bench, you know, it's
Absolutely.
Always like, hey, he's going to make mistakes. The sex is no different than any of these other things. It's even more so, I would say. You probably have a better shot of having a better time with a personal trainer or something the first time you
Much
went and worked
shot.
With them than you did some chick you got on top of after you drank like 11 Zimas.
But see, you're arguing for abstinence.
Thank you. No, I'm not.
Yes.
Here's my abstinence. Stop talking. That's what I want. That's a form. That's a Bruce abstinence. That's what I want.
Me stop talking.
Yes. Just don't talk.
I can't control
it. No talking.
Can't control it.
I won't do any effing if you don't do any talking. It's a verbal abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm a board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Nod.
I have to give my 2 cents.
All right.
I'm here to protect Drew's turf.
All right.
Okay.
What,
turf? Back to Jennifer.
And by the way, if you really want to fill in for Drew effectively,
I have to bang the mic.
You want to punch the mic
right.
6 times now, all right. Just whacking it. He hits the mic with his chest, hit it with his sternum, hit his like breastplate the other day. He hits it with his elbow. He whacks it with his coffee mug. And he's like, every time I say to him, stop punching the goddamn mic, he's like, hey, Adam, that's I'm clumsy. I'm like, well, put your hands by your side.
You know, I'm not likely to bang the mic unless you keep yelling at me and get me more anxious. And I think if you just leave Drew alone, leave me alone. You stay on that side of the table. I stay on this side. I provide the expertise, the medical expertise.
I know.
You're all over
that.
Me. You're
I,
all over
I,
Drew.
No, listen.
I get anxious.
Drew, you get anxious.
Right.
But you put, you put a little gel in your hair tonight, and that's a good thing. When Bruce comes in here with dry hair, when he's dry head, he's all over the place. When he's got the gel, that's like Batman's utility belt, that gel in your hair.
The only time I put gel in my hair is when I fill in on Loveline.
That's the point.
Because it's one less thing you're going to give me grief
for. Once in a while you come in with dry head, and you're not a confident man.
It's a longer walk to the car
yeah.
in this building.
You got the gel, you're a
like
confident
that.
Man. You're a confident
just don't
man,
touch
Bruce.
It. Keep your hands off me.
All right. Later on, you can tell me why Drew insists on punching the microphone on a nightly basis.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do an interpretive psychoanalytic study on you and Drew and why
oh,
you're banging.
Oh, I know. I know. I know. I know what he does, and I know why he does it. Elmer?
All right. What's up, Adam? Dr. Drew, you guys, great. I'm Dr. Bruce. You're the best filling ever.
Yeah. The only filling.
The only filling.
Why do we get someone competent in here?
There's no competent
Anyways,
physician. Ever.
Well, my wife kind of set me up with this call, but... You know, I come from a pretty strong Filipino family, and I'm planning on getting a vasectomy. And I just wanted to know your guys' personal experience with friends maybe you have who've had vasectomies, because I've got all this superstitious, spiritual mojo that's, like, trying to get me, you know, half foot in, half foot out, and I've got, like, 2 weeks to D-Day, you know what I mean?
Your wife wants you to get the vasectomy.
Well, actually, I agreed to it. I want to do it. I mean, we've pushed out four kids, or she's pushed out four kids for me.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like enough.
You're really just changing the plumbing, and there's no studies haven't shown any long-term effects. There was a theory that you created antibodies to sperm, and that there could be some long-term immunologic complications, and that turned out not to be true. So there's no long-term medical complications. Your mojo, your spiritual karma, whatever you believe in, there's been nothing to suggest that people have any depression or any kind of psychological problems.
Well, what about your wife getting on the pill?
Well, you know, she tried a couple types of birth control, like the pill, epidural, stuff like that, but she's always had bad reactions, like depression or mood swings, stuff like that.
Well, let's put his mind at ease.
It's a minor procedure. It's got no long-term side effects. It's safe.
It can be reversed, too,
okay,
right?
Okay. I got one other question about that. I mean, I just went in for a consultation for the no scalpel method. Now, what is the scalpel method? I mean, what's the difference between those two methods?
It's just less traumatic. There's
scalpel that make an incision?
Right.
Where? In the scrotum?
No.
It's both sides of the scrotum, right?
Yeah. Right, both sides, but not into
no
the scrotum
10 seconds
itself.
Ago. Well, they cut the sac, right? Don't they? Or buy it? Where do they make
right,
the incision?
I don't know. I don't do the procedure
myself. If you don't
myself.
Know, just say no, please.
No, but you're not going into the scrotum itself.
This oftentimes happens if Bruce doesn't know, and then he ends up trying to see the song and dance for 20 minutes. And
no,
I can't believe I'm on the air with you guys, man. You know, you guys got me through college, like crazy. When I had
2-hour
commutes and stuff, oh, man, listen
to
me.
Hey, thanks, Elmer. Vasectomy sounds like a female Filipino name, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Elmer, I'm going to set you up with vasectomy. Yeah, don't they have all those names? I work with a Filipino guy named Pogi.
Oh, you know what that means, right?
It means handsome.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I was thinking, you know, you go, Pogi, what's that name mean? And it's like, means handsome in Filipino. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Everyone thinks that's nice. But you're an asshole when you're in the Philippines, right?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's handsome.
Don't call me that. You know what I mean? That's the kind of reaction you get from people when they say that to you, you know?
Yeah.
You can't generalize about racial things, but all of Filipino friends I've had have been the nicest,
good
happiest people. Great people.
Good. Got nothing
man,
against
are, man.
Those
We're
people.
Grateful for everything, you know what I mean?
They're good people. All right. So,
but anyway, there is a new procedure. I'm not that familiar with it. It's less traumatic. And typically, it's done in less than 5 minutes, and it's very safe, tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done.
All right. It's good times over there. Let's go talk to Zane over here. Zane, you're 15.
Yeah, hey, what's up? Adam, you're the best, and Anderson, your soundbites rule the show, and Bruce, you're pretty cool, too.
Anderson Anderson's a strong, young following.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been the time he should have dropped in a soundbite, by
He's
the way.
He's gay.
There you go. Go ahead, Zane.
My question is, I've been sweating a lot lately in social situations, and when I get nervous, and I was just wondering if there's any medications out there that I can take to correct that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I happen to know something about this. First off, don't let Dr. Bruce give you 1,000 shots of
Botox
in your forehead saying that'll stop you from sweating.
Well, it's not my forehead. It's just my armpits, basically.
Oh, your armpits. You get the pit sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people who get the pit sweat complain that this is the worst sweat of all. I would argue that my forehead sweat is worse than your pit sweat because everyone sweats, gets the pit sweat. And
not everybody's under TV camera lights like you are, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most problematic.
Okay, so here's the deal, Zane. I've done a little research on this. A, you can there are surgeries if it's a dire thing, and the pit sweat surgery is not that big a surgery. I don't know if it's the same as the palm sweat one, but there are actual surgeries you can do. There's also like a topical medications you can put on too.
Yeah, you've tried.
Is it Xerac?
Right. You always mention it, and I can never remember it.
Xerac, I think. Yeah. You got that?
Xerac.
Yeah, Xerac, I think is how you spell it. But anyway, it's just a consistency of water, and it stops you from sweating. There's also pills you can take that'll stop you from sweating, too.
Yeah, but, you know, really, the Botox injections...
Yeah, what?
They are very effective.
What do you mean they're very effective? You shot me in the forehead like as if a couple rounds of a shotgun were fired into my goddamn forehead. It did nothing.
You have to do it every
Why don't I just kill myself?
Drew was sitting here. You were turning white. Drew's laughing, going, keep going. And you're going, well, after about 10 little injections, like with a tuberculin.
You had put 70 injections into my forehead.
Well, we didn't finish the procedure, and I had mercy on you. And
hey, look, it did nothing. It did zero.
Yeah, and okay, so the Botox for palms and for underarms is really quite successful, and it's not that painful. Mm. It's probably more painful in your forehead because you have thinner skin, and it's going to be less well-tolerated. But there is a minor surgical procedure where you're cutting nerves that supply.
All right. I just got done saying this. Here's the thing: get on the internet and start checking it out. They're topical things you can put on.
Their hyperhidrosis is the term, and if you do a search under that term, you'll find there are numerous practices that are dedicated to hyperhidrosis. And
none that great though, really. No. I went to a guy. I said, what is this surgery? He's like, basically said, oh, man, we're going to have to get the rib spreader out.
Not for your forehead.
Yeah. Okay. You know the people that, you know, once in a while you go into some business and you want something and they decide they don't want you to have it, so that's it?
Right.
Like you go in and you go, I'm thinking of, even if it means work for them, like you want something done to your car, you want something done to you, and the they're already shaking their head as you're explaining it to them.
I've never understood that.
I mean, either. It's like, listen, Pops, I got a sweaty forehead. You do surgeries. How about I give you some of my money and you give me one of your surgeries and my forehead stops sweating? And you can tell it's about halfway into your explanation they're shaking their head. Yeah, well, no. No, I don't know. It's like,
you know when doctors...
What business are you in?
Yeah, you know when doctors do that with patients? When they think the patient's a little off, or they're concerned about a little bit of characterologic problems, like the patient's going to not be satisfied. I mean, there's certain, like, you get a feeling for somebody, and may have
said, How dare you?
Well, I'm just...
How dare you?
I'm providing my professional medical
experience. I can tell you that the surgery to get your forehead to quit sweating, which my forehead is doing right now, just talking about forehead sweat, is more involved than the one that gets your palms to quit sweating, as you could well imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But if you'd let me complete the Botox injections in your forehead.
Are you high? You gave me 75 injections. All I did was get a whole bunch of little red dots in my head, and I sweat more than I ever did from my forehead.
I didn't use a topical anesthetic because I thought, you know, Adam, tough guy, real man.
You said you're going to give me an injection of Botox. Here's the thing. Bruce has to inject every square millimeter of your forehead in order for this to work. He didn't tell me I was going to get a series of 75 shots. I thought I was getting one shot. And why would it work? You already did it. It did nothing. That's your answer?
I didn't
come back?
Because I didn't finish. It's dependent on completely covering that area.
All right. Listen. Okay. We're taking a break.
Okay. Thank God Drew was there as a witness.
It did zero. You gave me 75 shots. It did zero.
We didn't finish the procedure.
So you're saying if we did 90 shots, it would have worked?
How dare you?
All right. Listen, exactly. We're going to talk during the break. Uh-oh. This is not going to work. All right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, board certified, addiction medicine, emergency medicine, tattoo removal. What can't this young spaz do?
Apparently, I can't do Botox on your forehead.
That's why it's true. You realize I lost my teaser today. You know, I lost by 1 point. I lost by 1 point. In that game that I lost by 1 point, there was a safety.
Oh, yeah.
There was a field goal that hit the goalpost and caromed in. There's 5 points right there. And then there was a field goal with 40 seconds left in the game that they almost had to kick because they couldn't just take a knee. They probably would have preferred just to take a knee, but because they were only up by 7, technically, they had to get 2 scores ahead. Yeah. 1 point. Oh,
You wonder if any of those guys are sitting there knowing what the spread is in the game going, geez, if we kick this field goal, I think all the people are going to lose their shirts.
Does the thing have to hit the post and go in? Do you have to get the... All right. Listen, do this. I'm too devastated from the loss today. Let's you read the Cabin Fever promotion.
If you're 18 and over, Cabin Fever. All callers who get on the air tonight will receive a Cabin Fever DVD and will get a chance to win a trip for four to a ski vacation in Whistler.
That's
the
right.
The prize will include airfare, lift tickets, and a cabin. The Cabin Fever DVD will be available in stores on January 20th, and the winner will be announced next Sunday, January 25th.
18 or older.
18 or
we
older.
We give you the DVD, and then your name goes into the hopper. And as I like your odds, as I said to Drew, because I've only been averaging about three calls a night, and two of them have been from 12-year-olds. So if you're the one person that gets on the air is older than 18, you may just walk away with this cabin.
You're so modest, Adam. There are people lined up at payphones all over the...
Yeah. You've been to Whistler? Have you ever been to Whistler?
No, it's a great ski area.
That's what I hear.
Friends from up there.
Drew would tell you what a great ski area was if he wasn't skiing right now.
Is he really skiing?
Yes, he is. Well, now this second, he's probably drinking a hot toddy and warming his tootsies in front of the fireplace. Yes.
Yeah.
Why? You don't know hot toddies in Utah?
I think you had to bring your own or something like that.
That's a BYOB state?
Yeah.
Nicole?
Yeah.
Oh, before I forget, I saw a whole thing on Ephedra over the weekend.
Don't get me started.
Drew doesn't like the Ephedra. There are people, dieters, who say, hey, this has helped me lose weight. It's an important tool for me. I mean, they're banning ephedra,
right?
Essentially. Do you think it's dangerous or not?
Ephedra is one step away as I draw. This is methamphetamine.
Wait. Dr. Bruce is
good
drawing,
radio.
It's great radio. Is drawing a molecule.
That's ephedrine. That's methamphetamine.
I don't know. So you draw what looks like a birdhouse, and then a dash and a C, and a dash and a C, and a dash, and then an MCH. This is the molecular breakdown.
This is the molecule for ephedrine right here that I drew.
Right.
You got this ring and some carbons, blah, blah, blah. But you have this oxygen group down here. You cut that off, and this is what they do in these labs. They just, it's one step, basically. They get some red phosphorus and some real hydriatic, some real strong acid. You cut off this oxygen off this molecule. One oxygen off of there, and you've got methamphetamine.
So you don't like ephedra?
No. So
speed,
two things.
Speed.
It's basically, when you have this molecule, when you have ephedrine, it's a little harder for this stuff to get into your brain. So some people, when they take ephedrine, they notice it speeds them up. They get a little bit of a boost off it. Mm-hmm. But to get that, you have to take a lot more. And this stuff really stimulates your blood pressure, your heart. And it's very similar.
What do you think about people when they say, look, if you're healthy and you're taking the right doses, no problem?
Well, the other point to be made about it is this does not work for weight loss.
Okay.
It just doesn't work. And if you look at any studies with any of the stimulants, really, people lose weight for 4 weeks, 8 weeks,
then they
and
put then it back on.
Almost 100% of it back. So,
okay. Dr. Bruce, giving the molecular structure of ephedra, pow! That's impressive.
What can I say?
That's impressive. Does not translate into 1 ounce of poontang, by the way, but still very impressive. Yeah, probably hurts a little, actually. Nicole? Nicole?
Pick up. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Unacceptable.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my boyfriend is bulimic, and I can't really confront him about it because he gets kind of defensive.
Did you say he or she gets?
He. It's my boyfriend. He's bulimic.
I know you said it was your boyfriend. I just thought you said she gets
Yeah. He hits me whenever I confront him about it. Like, almost. He comes pretty close to doing that.
Liar, whore, you know it.
Stop that. I'm not a liar or a whore.
Well, you gotta be at least one.
I'm kind of a whore, but that's not material to the problem.
All right. Where's your dad? You get along with him?
With my dad? Yeah, more or less.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? Go to school?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Where?
UC Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh. Is that a banana slug?
Of course.
Jesus.
So, how did you find out he was bulimic? What do you notice about his behavior?
Well, because he's lost like 40 pounds over the past like 2 months or so.
Yeah. Was he heavy before?
Sort of. He was kind of like a hobbit, pleasantly plump.
Yeah. Well, so how much does he weigh now?
I don't know exactly. He's probably around 140 now.
And he was like 180 before?
Sort of.
But
probably
he's
around that, yeah.
He's a short guy?
Yeah. Probably about maybe 5'7", 5'8".
But do you think he's taking laxatives or throwing up his food or anything?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think he pukes, actually.
All right. Okay. I think this is bogus. I just heard someone else pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's also a lot less common in meals.
Here's the other thing.
Sounds
here's the thing. In general, if somebody's got a problem, a loved one, and you bring it up, and they threaten to hit you, feel free to break up and head out. You're 18. You go to college. You don't have any kids. You dump them. It's real easy.
Right. But she sounds very codependent. I mean, it's typical for somebody to stay in a relationship who's codependent and who's seeking out somebody to save.
Yeah.
And that becomes their addiction. And so the question is, how can we help her?
I didn't find her to have all that much credibility. So that's why I'm moving on.
Okay.
But
bulimia
anyway.
Is a very serious problem. It's very common. And if you do know someone who you suspect has the problem based on their behavior, eating habits, personal history.
What should you do? What should you send them to?
Well, the problem, it's like doing an intervention sometimes, getting help for the person. They will sometimes react very aggressively against people that try to intervene. So it's sometimes going to a therapist or a school counselor and getting some help and intervening. It's a complex problem. But never don't try and help.
Rob?
Yeah?
You're 21? Hello?
Hi. Germany or Florida?
Oh, you have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yes, I do.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay, a guy goes into a computer store, buys a computer, takes it back the next day, and he says when he turned it on, it wouldn't turn on, and when he opened it up, it was full of potatoes.
Yeah.
He does this, a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally, store manager calls the cops, turns out he was taking the parts out of the computer and returning it with full of potatoes.
Right. What do you think? You think this is the work of a German or a Floridian?
Floridian.
You think of Florida? The potatoes smell of Germany, but
yes.
the illegal part smacks of Florida.
The average IQ in Germany, I don't think would
allow
we're going, such a preposterous.
We're going Florida.
You're wrong. It was Germany.
Oh, thank you. Bruce, I'm going to kill you. What's that, Rob?
You're still the man.
Thank you, buddy. Never, ever, ever, ever listen to Bruce again. Mental note. Mental note that I say out loud verbally. Never, ever listen to Dr. Bruce again.
Regarding German and Florida.
Ever. I don't even know who's talking right now. Is that me? Is that still my subconscious? Because I'm giving myself a mental note. Mike?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know when people say mental note, they really, they sort of nullify the whole mental note by their mouth moving, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like something you could do, you could just think, you know? Right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Go ahead, Mike.
I was just wondering, when I have sex with my girlfriend, we've been dating for about a year and a half, and it takes me within like 5 minutes to finish. I mean, I stay hard and everything. She's not complaining because I stay hard and I don't, like, she finishes and everything, but how can I, like, not come so fast? Is there any way to,
let's see. There's a couple of ways. Sometimes a condom can slow you down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We wear condoms all the time.
Ooh. Alrighty.
Masturbate before or more often.
I don't know about more often, but I know before. How about you masturbate, let's say,
an hour
before the encounter?
An hour before?
Make an hour and 10.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Maybe a day before. How often do you beat off?
Well, right now I can't really do anything with her because she's in Italy. So I beat off like twice a day right now.
Twice a day. Good. I'd like to see that up in the 4 to 5 range. But
we're talking about in relationship to the relationship. So rather than what your personal masturbatory history is.
When we're together, when we're together, it's probably once or twice every 3 days.
Okay. Here's the thing, too. Here's an interesting one. there is a position. All guys have a position that's sort of their sweet spot. You know, this is the one I get off in. You get out of that position, you'll be going for a half hour until you get back into that position. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. If they maintain their erection in the other position.
If it's the kind of thing where it's like, well, the way you have your orgasm is you get on your back and you lock your legs out and she gets on top, don't get in that position. You get doggy style or something where your knees are bent, you're down on the floor, and you're in a weird position. You do that one, I call it the ironing board against the wall position, where you just, the same thing I do when I'm at the urinal. I put my forehead against the wall. I put my feet about 2 feet away from it. And I just straighten up like a board, and I just lean up against it. And I don't even move. No movement. Just pow. Just like you took a plank and just leaned it against the wall.
This is at the urinal, though.
That's at the urinal.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. But I'm looking to come, you know, at the urinal.
Yeah.
That's what I do. You know, I go to the bathroom all the time. That's what I'm doing.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Mike.
Many positions. I mean, I've had like a 2-year relationship before this, and we're on a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've looked on Kama Sutra like websites and Cosmo and
sure.
I mean, I've tried every position I can look at, and
you can have an orgasm in any one of those positions.
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay.
The most 10 minutes.
Okay, here's the other part then, the sad part. I put him on hold, but he can hear me, of life, which no one tells you about. That's just you.
Right.
Look, people who have bad skin, they have bad skin because they have bad skin, not because they eat chocolate. Guys who come in five minutes, not because they're weak emotionally, not because of their schedule, not because of anything. It's because that's what they do. That's what they do. The same way guys can hit a ball 450 feet. Some guys snore. Some guys don't. Some guys are tall and some guys are short. There ain't a whole lot you can do about this. There's things you can do to not F it up any worse. But other than that, eh.
Yeah, sometimes the dynamics of the relationship.
Yeah,
well,
but
because you'll have a,
this is him.
Well, there are individuals that will tell you that they were in a relationship like this where orgasm very quickly, and then in another relationship. So you wonder if the dynamics of the relationship.
No, he does it in everything. He does it in all of them.
Right. So he's done that. It's happened before. And then there are people that say it's because he's circumcised, which he hasn't said that he is. But
okay.
There's a whole.
Here's the point. Yes. I would say try to squeeze one off an hour before the whatever. Other than that, you're having your orgasm. You're keeping your erection. She's having her orgasm. Everyone's happy.
Or he'll get depressed. He'll be put on an SSRI, and then he won't be able to orgasm at all.
Well, you want to start taking pills. You can do it pharmaceutically. All right, we'll take a quick but listen, everybody, I can't preach this enough. People that have big noses have big noses. People have double chins have double chins. People with sweaty foreheads have sweaty foreheads. People with skinny legs have skinny legs, and it's not because of anything they ever did except for being born. It really isn't.
Right. There's a range of normal, and this is not abnormal.
That's right. And we're as a society, we're obsessed with fixing things that we really can't fix that much.
Yeah.
And blaming, by the way, the fatsos or the ones with the big noses or the ones with the monobrows. Not myself. I'm just saying we're looking to point a finger at people
can fix that, Adam.
Who really don't have anything to do with their condition. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, it's Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. You know, if Drew were here, he'd be rapping right now.
Oh, I love that Drew rap.
Yeah.
That was...
Which Drew rap? This one?
Where he was on the puppet show.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
Yeah.
Puppet show. You mean Crank Yankers?
Crank Yankers, right.
Yeah. Tuesday nights, Comedy Central.
We'll plug.
Crank Yanker.
Yeah. I don't give enough plugs. Tuesday night, Comedy Central, Crank Yankers. And then Drew and I are going to be out at Stanford University. Yeah. I'm lecturing over at Stanford. That'll be on Wednesday. If you're in the area, you can come see us. I promise I will use the F word. And not just say F.
Yeah.
I will use the entire F word. So that's always a thrill. Let me tell you kids about a little something called Cabin Fever. You got to be 18 or older to participate in this, but as Dr.
All
Bruce mentioned earlier, all callers who get on the air tonight are going to get a DVD of Cabin Fever with all the behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff, and then you will register to win a ski vacation for four to Whistler, which Drew says is in Canada. Yeah. Anyway, It's going to include airfare and lift tickets and the cabin where you may be eviscerated if it's anything like the movie. I don't know why you'd want to go into a cabin after seeing. I guess if we were giving away Jaws, we'd just drop you out in the middle of the water, right?
It's that kind of movie. Huh?
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, watch Jaws. Here's a houseboat.
Is Drew snowboarding?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's just skiing. Okay. Drew would tell you how nice Whistler is. I said, ironically, he's skiing right now.
In Utah.
In Utah.
Okay.
Drew likes to ski.
It's a family place to ski. Utah.
Yes. I went skiing one time with somebody else's family and got this scar on the bridge of my nose.
Ski pole or ski?
Actual ski. Going down the mountain, got into a little accident with another skier. Everything was fine, and then when we were trying to untangle ourselves, the person whipped their leg up, and the butt part of the ski, the back part of the ski, just pow, caught me straight in the bridge of the nose. And you know how much the face bleeds, don't you, Bruce?
Yeah.
Blood just pouring down my face as I was making my way down the hill.
Being
to
a
the,
good boxer,
ski
though,
hospital.
You're used to that, and you probably just...
It didn't bother me.
No.
It didn't bother me, although I was a lad. I was probably 15 or 16. Never did get stitches, and that's probably why it left the
laser can
left
fix
the
that
scar.
Too.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. Sometimes it's much more noticeable than others. Now, who are we talking to, Amanda?
Hello.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Nothing. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Great.
Okay, here's my question. I need to clear my conscience. I was with a guy for about 4 years, and truthfully, he used to come in me a lot, and I got pregnant in, like, March of last year, but when I found out I was pregnant, they dated it back to a week that me and him weren't sleeping together, and I was actually, I cheated on him with one guy.
You stinking whore!
Okay, so my question is, how likely is it to get pregnant from pre-cum? Because the other guy I was with, we were only together for about a minute before he pulled out. So he didn't actually, we didn't actually have sexual orgasm.
That's an enthusiastic man. Oh, you mean?
Well, no, I stopped it.
So you gave him like 3.5 pumps and then you said, no, I can't.
Yeah, basically.
Let me just finish you off with a BJ.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
That's about how a third of the
conscience got to her, so she just finished off at the BJ. God bless the women of today. Okay, so he didn't have an orgasm.
No, he didn't.
Until you finished him with the BJ.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I was in a... Sorry, yeah.
That's all right. But there could be some... Okay, so here's what we found out about the pre-cum, as
loaded
we call it.
With sperm.
Well, they say it is... But then they came out with some stuff later that said, well, maybe not, and they didn't seem to know. The again, you're the doctor, but please shut the hell up. Evidently, some guys, maybe it varies from guy to guy, yes?
Of course.
Okay.
And from how much ejaculation they've had at that time, what time of day, and how warm or cold they keep their testicles, all kinds of things will influence the number of sperm and pre-cum.
Right.
But,
so it's fair to say that some guys have more sperm in their pre-cum than others do.
Yeah.
And we don't know which one this guy was. And it's,
we do. He was a guy with a lot of sperm in there. Yeah, and bring, you know, every girl that gets pregnant can bring that study to the abortion clinic or, you know, through a pregnancy. You just don't know. And the point is there are a lot of people that have this. It sounds like Amanda's surprised to the point of wondering how this could have happened. And yet,
well,
I know.
No, I think she wants to know if it's this guy's.
Of course.
Well, I put my boyfriend through a lot because I basically told him it was his. I didn't give him the option that it could have been another guy's.
Okay, so how long ago was this?
This was in March of last year.
So you had an abortion?
And I had an abortion in May.
Oh, okay.
But this is like a radio confessional here, and you want to purge yourself of guilt.
I need to clear my conscience.
All right, well, let me say this. How about this?
Okay.
For anyone who feels guilty about anything they've ever done and feels badly about something they did, and instead of apologizing, why don't you go to some homeless shelter and volunteer for a day? You know, work it off.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, look, sometimes you can't repay the person that you wronged. like your boyfriend. I don't know if there's any way you can make it up to him. I don't know if you want to tell him.
Right.
I don't know if you should tell him. But you have a sort of karma debt to be paid. And instead of just burning calories trying to make peace with it inside your own head, why don't you just go down and hand out some, ladle out some slop to some bearded alkies down at Skid Row for a month, or, you know, get in the mentoring program. Or right. Catholic Big Brother or something. Why don't you just go do something?
You ever notice it's not the people like Amanda who have a conscience and continue to feel guilt. Guilt's not bad if you address, hey, I feel guilty. Why do I feel guilty? I did something wrong.
Right.
I need to do something about it. Either confess or make amends in some way. But it's the people that have no guilt and couldn't care less. You wish you can have some miracle cure for them so that they could suddenly have conscience and want to do something about what they did. I'm just wondering with Amanda, is she still with the guy that she cheated on? Or?
Don't know. Don't care.
Don't care. Okay. So
yeah, she is with that guy. She got back with him.
So I'm wondering if that's affecting the relationship now. Or...
Well, we got to take a break.
Oh.
So screw you.
I really want to know.
Well, you're not going to find out. Obviously, it is a little bit. We'll take a... Just shut up, would you? We'll take a break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce, dear, dear, dear friend of the show. Filling in for Dr. Drew, by the way, who's skiing. All right, let's go back to the phones. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Bruce, board-certified addiction medicine specialist, emergency medicine specialist, also specialist in the use of the laser for the tattoo and the skin rejuvenation. Really a much better doctor than Dr. Drew.
Can I talk now?
Yeah. No. Go ahead. Yeah, that's good. Well, no, you know you're better than Drew. Drew doesn't know anything. I've talked to Drew a minute. I'm right whenever we get into these arguments. Drew over there, big worry ward. Somebody's a Jewish mother. He's not a doctor. Stacy?
Hi there.
What's happening?
I have actually two questions, if that's okay with you.
All right.
Is that fine?
Hurry. Yep.
Okay, first question. I recently got my nipple pierced. In September, I believe it was September the 8th. And I've noticed that it's healed already, but it's kind of like lactating a little bit. And I heard that women who have had kids will still lactate.
Mm-hmm.
Even after. My son is already going to be 4. But like it's kind of like pussing out a little bit, but it doesn't hurt like at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a the way breast milk does.
Mm-hmm.
But like a bit more with a creamier substance.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
you can lactate just from stimulate. There's a thing called prolactin that your brain produces that is the hormone that increases and causes lactation. But you can have lactation just from a little bit of stimulation or irritation of the nipple. So lactate.
As a matter of fact, my OBGYN told me that. That's
yeah.
Right.
So, and then you also, there's a discharge that the nipple produces, you know, that's normal for it to be there. You may have it more or less, you know, one person to the next. So, the signs of infection are, it's, you know, redness, increased warmth, and an increasing discharge. And how long have you had this kind of the crusty
discharge? It doesn't hurt. It doesn't feel red. It doesn't feel warm. It's been doing that since September of last year.
How long have you had the nipple ring in there?
September.
Of last year. And,
so in other words, just...
It doesn't hurt at all. I've pulled it by accident with my sweater sometimes, but...
All right, hold on.
So you have a normal discharge. Maybe it's blocking. Shedding of cells.
Let me float a theory here.
Okay.
First off, listen, mamas. Your nipple piercing days are behind
over,
you.
Right.
That was before you cranked out the kid. Okay, number one. Number two... if you can take a nipple, irritate it, and or stimulate it, and get it to produce some milk in some cases, especially when somebody has a young child, then it stands to reason if you put a nipple piercing in it and it was rubbing against the bra, the sweater, whatever, that could create enough stimulation or slash irritation to produce the milk, right?
Right. If that's the situation, when you put any kind of a foreign body in or a piercing, you develop a scar.
Yes.
You know, scar tissue around it. So, you know, it just depends on how much movement there is. But yeah, absolutely right. I was thinking the same thing when she was talking. So,
all right. So, what should she do?
I'd remove. I wouldn't worry about an infection, although having not seen it, I should never say that. But remove the rings is what I would do.
All
because,
right.
Like you said,
Mama.
Yeah, she's a mom.
Take the ring out before the kid gets a shot of it and you freak him out. All right. Someone wants to heap praise on me. Will?
Hey.
Hey, Will. You're 27. What's up?
Hey, this is quite an honor, man.
Why, thank you, Will.
Yeah, I've been listening to this show for like 8 years, but this past 5 years, I mean, every time you're on.
Well, it says here you were in the joint for a number of years.
Yeah, so about the only entertainment that we had.
Did they let you listen to the radio, huh?
Well, you actually have to buy one. Yeah, they're about $5 AM/FM radios, and they sell them for $30.
And you plug them into inside your cell?
Well, you know, they're little battery-operated personal radios.
Ah, I see. And so you can listen to the show at night?
Yeah.
Now, what time do they have what time is lights out?
Well, at SRCI, they make you turn out your lights at it's recall at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Now, what's recall mean?
Well, recall means everyone to their cells.
Okay, everyone to the cell, and then we're shutting the lights.
Yeah, and you got to be in, otherwise, you know, you're unauthorized area, and you're going to the hole.
Right. Now, if you want to read a magazine in your cell, and you have a reading light, can you just do that for an hour?
Well, yeah, you know, you actually don't have to turn, you know, they turn out the lights in the units. You know, in the cells, the lights have to be on because they still have to do two more accounts.
I see.
Then at about 11:30, they shut off your main lights in your cell, and you still have the security lights.
Mm-hmm. Will, did you suffer any retribution for being an Adam Carolla fan while in prison? I mean, was there any
persecution?
Well,
actually, you'd be surprised how many of them are. I mean, everyone's walking around going good times, bad times, you know.
Right. That was sort of a rhetorical question on my part, as I suspected not that you're in that element necessarily, but that maybe the more criminal element would Adam for a role
Everyone's
model.
An Adam Carolla fan.
Ah, yeah, exactly what I thought.
That's right.
I mean, he is the man.
What were you...
yeah, you're still the man too there, Anderson.
What were you in for, Will?
Well, you see, I was actually driving through Oregon, mm-hmm. me and my girlfriend, and we were kind of doing a little scenic route. I was actually heading to my mom's house up in Montana. Mm-hmm. And we stopped at this bar and, you know, to have some lunch. Well, actually, it's more like a late dinner, but, you know, close enough.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend was heading to the bathroom, and this, you know, drunk little guy started mouthing off to her, said something that she didn't like. She never actually told me what he said. And she slapped him across the face. So he pulled out this, like, boot knife or whatever the hell it was and started coming at her.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I jumped up and, you know, basically handles his ass.
And now, did he die?
Well, no. I mean, I knocked him unconscious, but, you know, I mean, he stabbed me like 3 times. I had like stitches on my hands, and I got like a cut on my wrist. And
this is what happened in Con Air, by the way. I don't know if they show that film on a movie night.
Well, no, actually not. They
It'd
don't
be
show
funny
anything
if they showed
that has a prison theme.
Nothing but prison theme. It was caged heat and concrete jungle and all those like
those
great
are beautiful,
escape,
beautiful films, by the way.
All those great escape movies and lockdown and all that stuff. But now here's the thing: you must have had some priors, Will.
Well, you see, Oregon has this fun thing called mandatory minimums. You know, Measure 11.
Yeah.
And they felt that they were giving me a slap on the wrist by giving me 5 years rather than 70 or 90 months. Because they
right.
said I was so much bigger than him that I could have just disarmed him, and then I could have stopped hitting him. When you know, before he was rendered unconscious.
Right. Well, maybe they had a point. But the point is he pulled a knife on your woman and you jumped in and you had no weapon?
Yeah, exactly.
Will, I feel outraged for you, Will.
By the way, you must have a horrible representation.
Yeah.
Well, they don't call public pretenders dump trucks, you know, around in the joint for no reason.
Yeah, that just sounds like a disaster. Well, listen, God bless you, Will. You're on the outside now.
Sounds like a nice guy.
You can get back to your life. Yeah, remember in Con Air, that's what happened. What's his name? He came home. He came home from the military.
Was that Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage.
A great movie.
Yeah. If you like gay porn. Hey,
wait a second.
If you love gay porn, you're going to love John Woo. Lots of shots of guys with their shirts off walking in slow motion down a tarmac with the heat rising up above it. Yeah, it's good jacking if you're a gay guy. It's great. Oh, yeah, Face Off, Broken Arrow, great. Some of the most expensive gay porn I've seen in the theaters, yeah.
Did I say I hated that movie?
Oh, that sucked. These a-holes, that stuff's crap. Please.
The gay porn?
Well, I just like that. Here's what I like. Here's what they have to do. We haven't talked about this in a while, but it's Sunday night, and I'm in the mood to gab. Bad movie making, which is, this happens every once in a while. Guy has to go to prison, but yet somehow he's the hero. So how do you make this guy go to prison? He's our hero. Well, here's how you do it. He shows up at some bar. He says he's going to get his old lady, just wants to leave. Some bikers surround him.
Right.
People tell him, you're not going anywhere. He makes the announcement, I don't want any trouble. He tries to walk out in the parking lot. The biker gives the famous, you found trouble, lunges at him with a knife. Next thing you know, he turns the knife on the guy, and the guy lands on it. Then it's the judge's gavel. Murder one! Murder! And then you're sitting around going, well, how'd this guy get murder? When everyone in the bar heard him announce he didn't want any trouble and walk outside, and then the biker followed him with the stiletto,
right.
And now he's going to the joint. What they really ought to do is, if they were ballsy enough, is make the guy a human being, have him get drunk at the bar, drive home like in the rain, and clip some kid on a bicycle.
Ugh.
Now you got vehicular manslaughter. Now you're going in the joint. You see, that makes you a human being.
Yeah. Not a good movie, though.
No. Well, like I said,
Will.
If you like gay porn, you're going to love John Woo. That's what he does. He does a lot of guys walking in slow motion with no shirts on. Listen, I don't know if John Woo is gay. Anderson, he has to be, doesn't he?
I don't know, but I've been saying, he's Asian, that's all I know.
He must have some sort of fetish for the American male actors or something. He's got to be gay, because who else would have the idea? Hey, fellas, everyone, take your shirts off. Yeah, now rub yourself down with Vaseline. Now, walk in slow motion. Oh, no, wait a minute. We'll slow it down. You just walk. And put the reflective cop glasses on, too. I'm going to beat off to that when I get home.
It's funny you say gay porn, because I've been saying that about that guy for a long time. And if you were to play his entire films like in regular motion without the slow motion, they'd be like maybe 50 minutes long.
Yeah. I don't know. What are all the John Woo movies, Anderson, besides?
Like Hard Boiled, Face Off, Broken Arrow.
Face Off.
What was his last one?
They took the guy's face. See, Bruce, it's like if you took my face and you cut it off me and you put it on Engineer Chris, he could go home and F my wife. She would never know.
I walked out of the movie on the third ending. I didn't
Hey, you took Anderson's face, you put it on mine, I could go back to his apartment and beat off. Oh, no, wait a minute. I got to work that out. Anyways, the point is, look, you're not going to take Bruce's face and put it on my face, and then he's going to go home, and my wife's going to be like, oh, did you have a tough night? Oh, that Bruce was a pain in the ass. Please. This man makes gay porn. Let somebody stop John Woo from making movies, please.
Did I say I like Con Air?
Oh, Con Air and Face Off. Please.
I never saw it.
Okay. He's got to be gay.
Paycheck's
out
right now.
He has to be gay.
With Ben.
What's that?
Paycheck with Ben Affleck right now. I'm sure it's
paycheck.
A winner.
Yeah, that sounds like a real beauty. Well, you know, Ben Affleck can't make a bad movie. So.
No. Is this his third in a row?
Yeah, I think Paycheck is just more slow-motion gay porn. Look into John Woo, Anderson. Find out if he likes the fellas, because it's all going to come into focus for me if he's into the last.
It's going to be great for Anderson's career. I can.
All right. Jennifer.
Yes?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I'm having a problem figuring out if I'm gay or not.
Mm-hmm.
I had a recent boyfriend who got irritated with me because I wouldn't want to have sex with him when he wanted to, and just when I do it, it just seems disgusting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, were you ever molested or raped or anything?
Yeah.
You were?
Yes.
Who did this to you?
Two of my step-grandfathers and my father.
Ooh-ooh.
Did you have any kind of...
Wait a minute. Oh. Two step-grandfathers and your dad?
Huh?
Okay. You were molested by three guys?
Yes.
Okay. That's enough to scramble even the...
7-Eleven.
Where are you working?
I work at a gas station.
Mm-hmm. Is that the change?
Yep.
Yeah. You don't want to know what a big shot I am now when they shove stuff. If you're in the Los Angeles area and you go into a gas station, you want to buy stuff, they have to ram it into a drawer through a slot or something like that. It's a great message to send society that we'll just deal with everyone through 3-inch thick ballistic glass. But I'm such a big shot, I'll leave the nickel in the slot as I walk away.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Not the quarters.
I'm big time. Not the quarters. Oh, hell no. Not the quarters. But you're... Wait, where's she calling from? You're calling from Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore, Maryland.
You got that thick glass in front of you?
Yeah.
Good.
I like dealing with the people. I don't like having the glass there, so it's kind of weird for me.
Right.
I'm used to working in a deli and stuff and dealing with people and talking to them.
Sure. All right, so listen here, Jennifer. You've been through a lot.
Right.
And when you've been through as much as you've been through, it's really hard to tell what you would have been because you've been changed so much by these horrible, life-altering events.
Right.
All right? So you will be confused, to say the least. Now, what you got to do is get some therapy or some counseling or join a group or something and work out some of this stuff because there's no way you can get through what you've been through without a little help.
Right, and paradoxically, without a lot of work and help, you're going to find a guy that's going to be a victimizer like these men were in your life. And naturally, you're going to feel more comfortable with a nurturing woman, but that's probably not where the healthy relationship's going to lie. So until you really, it's a long process and it's a lot of work and it's painful, but if you get some therapy and you understand what you have to do and what the issues are, it takes time. But just to move into a gay relationship with that kind of a history, it's not going to be successful either.
Speaking of gay relationship, you see that Con Air? Talk about gay. I don't know how come no reviewer ever describes these flaming turds known as John Woo movies as gay porn, but it seems blatantly obvious to the sane, straight heterosexuals that are watching the movies. And Anderson has clarity enough.
Yeah, you
to
and
see
Anderson
that.
Have a.
But
yeah.
I liked Hard Boiled, his one of his first films.
Okay. Well, now who did Snake Eyes?
No, that's good. That's Brian De Palma.
Oh, that's good. I never saw Snake Eyes.
That's good, and it has no slow motion, and if it does, the shirts are on.
Okay. Well, I was thinking Nick Cage.
You'd like it, I think.
But we got Face Off, which is, again, like I said, the premise, all they got to do is cut your face off, lay it over my face, and then I can go to the prison and do tattoo removal.
No
questions asked.
Yeah.
You put my face onto your head, you go home and F my wife.
Mission Impossible 2, same thing.
Oh, Mission Impossible 2, yeah. Yeah, a lot of pulling off the faces real fast, like.
Uh-huh.
All right, you ready to roll here?
Yeah, I'm ready. You're very tangential tonight.
Heidi?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question about tattoo removal.
All right.
Okay, I got a tattoo a couple years ago, and... the guy who did it wasn't done at a shop, but it was a professional. He had all the equipment and stuff. And when he did it, it's all splotchy, and he missed some spots, and he didn't use any. He just used blue and green, and I wanted color, but he didn't want to use color since it was free, and I want it removed.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to know, like, how much it's going to cost, and, like, if there's any problems, will leave a big scar or anything like that.
Well, where is it?
It's on the left-hand side, like kind of in my groin, kind of hip area. I don't know how to describe it. It's down by my hip, kind of.
Right. Well, I've got a mental picture of it. But, okay. Don't do the same thing with the removal that you did with getting the tattoo. You know, the guy's a professional, but...
No, I won't.
What's the tat of?
It's a Hawaiian flower.
Oh, classy.
Can you tell it's a Hawaiian flower at this point?
Not really, no. Okay.
Well, seriously, the lasers that are used today for tattoo removal are very safe. The downside is it takes time. You have it done once every 4 to 8 weeks, and it's an average of 8 sessions. And
sessions.
Right. Now, your chances of scarring are related to your chances of scarring from anything that disrupts the skin. If you've had stitches before... most people don't have a problem with scarring with tattoo removal. It's very rare. unless, again, the operator doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. The areas that are the most sensitive are generally the breasts, the outer arms, and
are there tattoo removal, laser tattoo removals in every city now?
Oh yeah, I mean it's.
Do you open the phone book?
Open the phone book. Seeing a board certified, the internist or dermatologist or plastic surgeon. Interestingly enough, the majority of these type of lasers are sold to family practitioners, general practitioners.
What do these things run? The procedure. Per session, per square inch, what do they go by?
Both ways. They're done both ways. In our area here, and generally it goes about, for a square inch area, each treatment's going to run about $75-$100. 2 square inches, $100-$150.
So if you have...
Business card size area, about $100 to $150 each time it's done.
Times 8.
Right.
So if you have a business card size tat, and does it have to be of a business card or just that size?
Just that size. Yes.
So it wouldn't have like a fax number or something on
no,
there?
No.
Okay, like sales
rep. It would be less expensive for business card size printing because you go by the actual amount of ink.
Right. So business size card tattoo that was filled with ink would take about 8 sessions and might cost $750, $800 to remove.
Right. And there are people that will say, okay, as much as you can stand in 15 minutes for $150. I've heard variations on the theme.
Stuff will go down as the lasers become more prevalent, right?
What's that?
The price will come down.
Well, I don't think so, because it's not how powerful the laser is.
I know, but as more people get the lasers, the market will be saturated. Yeah. Bruce hopes not. He wants to be the only guy in town with the magical laser.
Which I'm not.
But here's the thing. It's not cheap. But the old way of removing a tat used to be just to cut it out.
Scrape it. Rub salt on.
I would see guys who had a scar on the side of their arm that really looked like they were burned badly, and it'd be like, what the hell happened? I got my tat removed.
Right. Well, there were lasers that were almost like Star Wars continuous beam lasers, where you'd hit the ink and the skin and ink, everything would go, and so. You'd have an actual wound.
But I'm talking about 15, 20 years ago. They would just cut it out or something.
Yeah, well, cut it.
Disaster. All right, let's thank God for the lasers.
Absolutely.
All right, shall we take a break here, Bruce?
Yeah, then we'll come back. Dad's an alcoholic, and she wants to know what her risks of alcoholism are.
Yeah, that seems boring.
Maybe we should have gone to
a better one.
Okay, let's talk about... Oh, God, this is a great one. We have a gal that's feeling really guilty because she hooked up with her boyfriend. That sounds normal to me. That's not very exciting either.
Jesus, F. Bruce.
Oh, she caught her boyfriend masturbating. That's a good one.
All right.
Why does he do it?
All right. All after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
So who produced that Con Air movie?
Directed.
Bruckheimer. Oh,
yeah. It's not John Woo.
It's the Bruckheimer
told me during the break. So we have a correction to make. I still stand by my gay porn John Woo. But
obviously a big,
not, yes.
big John Woo fan, obviously.
Yeah, those aren't amongst his credits.
Mm-hmm. I think you and Anderson have this sort of phobia of seeing men's naked upper bodies on film. Everybody's gay.
No. I'm personally tired of really crappy movies like Face Off that people think are decent movies, when they're so far fetched that they just become ridiculous. I don't know how you're.
How about Terminator?
That's good.
Yeah, see.
That's a good movie.
So, far-fetched is obviously a very nebulous definition.
Well, here's the thing. I can't tell you that 500 years from now there's not going to be some sort of machine thing that goes bad. I can tell you that when Jim Carrey's kid makes a wish that he can't lie anymore at a birthday party, that's not going to prevent Jim Carrey from lying. I can't tell you what's going to be going on 100 years from now, or whenever the future was. Maybe it's 50 years from now. But just like I'm sure people the turn of the century could have never pictured commercial airplanes doing what they do now.
How about the commercial airplane in Con Air flying down the Las Vegas Strip.
Janelle?
Hello?
Hello?
You're 19?
Yep.
What's up?
About a year ago, I walked into my boyfriend masturbating, watching some porn, and it bothered me.
What kind of porn? Does he have a theme?
No, nothing specific, really.
Good.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if it's a normal thing. Is it normal for me to be bothered by it? It's not the masturbation that bothers me. It's the pornography that bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it that he's looking and being sort of that he's eroticizing other women this way in his mind?
Yes, very much so.
All right. Well, we'll figure this out in 1 second. Have you, let's see, were you ever exposed to any pornography when you were younger?
When I was younger? No, not before my time or anything, no.
All right. Did your dad cheat on your mom, or was he a bad dad?
No. He's an amazing father.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, do you come from a family where there were a lot of, did you go to church? Is there a moral value system that would judge pornography as wrong or bad?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. So it's something.
Pretty
but
open.
When you guys, when you're involved, when you and your boyfriend are having sex, you ever watch pornography or anything like that? Or
we have twice, and that was after I found out that he was watching it, and I thought, okay, well, I'd feel more comfortable if we were to watch it together, and that I was all right with. And he had told me he wasn't going to watch it anymore, and then I found out about a month ago that he was, and he had been lying to me about it for like over a year.
Yeah. Well, look. Okay. Here's the deal. No guy is, I don't know, how old is your boyfriend?
He's 20.
All right, it is physically impossible for him to stop watching porn. That ship has sailed on the scrotum sea a long time ago. The barn doors are open, the balls are out of the barn. I don't know what other cliche I can destroy, but the point is there's no going back. Not at 20. It's impossible. Now, if you're the kind of person who says, I'm uncomfortable with this, then he'll do what any logical guy who's not obviously can't stop watching the pornography is going to do. He'll say, okay, I'll stop, and then he'll do it until your car pulls up in the driveway, in which case he'll stop.
Right.
This is what guys do. And by the way, this is what everybody does who's doing something that they rationalize is not hurting their spouse or them. And this is sort of, I'm going to keep the relationship running smooth. And I know you take it as disrespectful, but this is just what any guy would do. 99% of guys would do this.
Okay, so is it normal for me to be bothered by it, though? Or should I not be so?
Let me tell you something. This is classic. And in many, just as Adam says, it's universal that guys are going to want to look at porn. And if it bothers a girlfriend, hide it even more. It's just as universal for women to be initially at least threatened by the porn or want their boyfriends to stop. Now, I have to say that there are individuals that develop an addiction to porn. It becomes like a drug. And any kind of sexual activity, whether it's with another person or with pornography, in which it's used to stimulate a certain part of the brain, if it's something that you do for a certain kind of thrill, it can develop into an addiction. And people...
Right, because he says it's, it's not the girls, it's just, it's a different kind of thing. Like our sex, kinky, I know there's no problem there.
Oh, there goes the FCC. How much is that?
She just had to drop the F word. Okay, here's what I'm getting at. I put her on hold. I've not spoken to any women on this show that once you trace it back a little bit, there's not some issue involving exploitation or men or something that creeps in. And Janelle doesn't seem as caught up or as angry as many of our callers are. Listen, Janelle.
Yes.
No using profanity.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. So I just want to make sure you love your dad. You were never molested. You don't have any issues.
I was molested, but not by my father.
You were molested.
Right. It was my cousin.
Who molested? Your cousin. How old were you?
I was 12 years old, 12 or 13.
Was it an ongoing thing or was it caught?
It was a one-time thing.
How old was your cousin?
He was Oh, gosh, he was a lot older. He was, in his 20s.
Oh. And did he have sex with you?
No.
That's, and did you report him or anything?
Well, I told, eventually it kind of got out because it happened with another one of my cousins. And so it eventually got out, and my parents knew, and it was dealt with by the family. He was, like, basically forced to seek help before he was, you know, considered part of the family again.
Yeah, so that's pretty traumatic.
Right.
And there is, I was about to say, usually there's feelings of exploitation that creep in here, and you were exploited by this criminal. But look, here's the thing, Janelle. Your boyfriend will lie if you put him in a position to lie. It's disrespectful. You're not going to get him to stop. Put it this way. If he's a good boyfriend and he's present with you and he's good in when you're making love and everything's fine, then let him do whatever he wants. If you feel like this is hurting your relationship, other than the part where you told him to stop and he didn't, then make an issue out of it. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think really she needs to come to terms with it. And I think the part about there's somewhat of a universality in terms of men masturbating, fantasizing, and in some cases using pornography. I think for her to accept that and then look at what's going on in the relationship. If all of a sudden she says, okay, you know, it's none of my business what you do, but she's looking at the quality of the relationship. If things start to move away from the intimacy between them and he's more and more into the pornography, then there's an issue. And we're not sure that's not the case.
All right. Stop busting his balls. And listen, if you got molested when you're 12 by your 20-something-year-old cousin, a little therapy would be nice.
Well, I assume she had therapy when it was
you never
out,
know. Probably.
She sounds fairly well adjusted. She does. She sounds like she wants to know what's going on.
Thank you. Yes, she does. Brian.
Yes.
You're 22.
Yes.
You got your 14-year-old girlfriend pregnant?
Yes.
Why do you have a 14-year-old girlfriend?
Well, she's really, really mature.
Oh,
and
right.
She sees no problem with it, and I see no problem with it. And mm-hmm. Our friends... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the problem, you know, when you ask an eighth grader if they have a problem with something. They don't have a problem with a lot of things that adults have problems with. That's why they're called minors.
Yeah, and if she seems comfortable with sex and seems real mature, it means that she's had sexual
abuse,
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
But here's the thing. Why stop the party? You know, I mean, her uncle molested her. Why not young Brian slide in and, you know, keep the train rolling?
Yeah. You know well, that's mean? What, unfortunately, you know, you're in the situation where, by any standard, you're an abuser. You're a perpetrator. And, you know, you're in a bad situation because I assume it's illegal in Oklahoma for a 14-year-old. There's no consensual sex of 14.
Well,
I guess
no.
Maybe there isn't.
And now she's pregnant.
Yes.
All right. And so, what do you do? Something with metal?
What do you mean?
What do you do for a living?
Oh, I work at a garage at an auto parts store.
Yeah. I was thinking transmissions for some reason when I was talking to Brian. I was thinking metal cars. All right. So, and she is in school?
Yes.
And what grade? Junior high?
She's in 10th.
10th grade?
Yeah.
At 14?
Yes.
What?
How far?
Wait.
How far along is she?
You'd have to be jumped up a few grades, wouldn't you?
No. I don't know. I don't know why she's in the 10th grade, but
she's not in the 10th grade.
It's usually 9th grade when you're 14, I think.
9th and 15 too. She ain't no 14 and in the 10th grade unless she got pushed
continuation
ahead.
School.
Yeah, she didn't get pushed ahead.
She's going to be 15 very soon.
Oh, man, that's going to be a good day. So now you got her pregnant. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that borders on retardism, Brian, which is you're taking a big enough chance at banging a 14-year-old when you're 22, but doing it without protection. Aren't you just asking for trouble?
Well, I used protection, but evidently it did not work.
Okay.
I used a condom, and... Okay. You know, the instructions aren't exactly hard, so I'm pretty sure I did it right.
All right. Well, now the it says up here that her dad's a cop.
Yes, and her dad's a cop, and he kind of scares me a lot. And I don't think he really knows that we were going out. But we've been going out for a long time. They thought we were just really good friends. And I mean, I've always, you know, we've always been just messing around. Really, we've never really had sex. We just, you know, mess around and stuff. And like, I'll have clothes over there all the time. Her mom is like really religious. And I think she trusted me too much. I think she's
kind of trusted
naive.
You too much. Her mom.
Her mom. Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second. There's an air of boguosity here, but on the other hand,
it's
religious
chaotic.
Mom and cop dad.
Cop
and let me
dad
tell you,
sounds scary.
Cops are nuts. They are nutty. And listen, I know we got a lot of cops listening to the show, and God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work, except for when you hand out the chicken-ass tickets. You know who you are. Please, for Christ's sake. Is that why you signed up?
Okay.
So you could just hand out the candy-ass, chicken-ass tickets? Wow.
Well, Brian's going to have a much bigger problem than a chicken-ass ticket. He's going to have a gun up his...
Yeah. But cops are nutty guys. They're almost criminals. They just want that. That's the way they went.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's how cops and criminals work. You know, the guys that are the gay bashers who are ultra-religious right-wing or the guys that just like to go out and go into a fag bar and kick some ass on a weekend? Turns out when they hook the tumescence monitors up to these guys' pepes and show them gay erotica, they're like John Woo. They get excited. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're a little closer than they thought, and sometimes that's what causes you to do whatever. It's a very simple psychological equation. A lot of cops could have been on the other end of their billy club quite easily.
Well, you know, some of course, there are people, I mean, the same thing with ministers and people that, that you attack
as right.
being
but they're,
Christian.
They're still doing good work.
The majority
except
of
for
police.
The chicken-ass tickets.
Right.
But they're doing good work, and fine. That's good. That's taking an impulse that says I could easily be a criminal, but instead, I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
All right. That does not mean that young Brian will not get a, you know, cops, by the way, and I don't know if you can take the law into your own hands when you are the law, but they will. They'll do that on occasion, too.
Yeah.
Be a nice ass-kicking coming Brian's way. Maybe Brian should...
We need to talk to Brian.
How about Brian convince her? Can she get an abortion, Brian?
What?
At 14?
Is she going to get an abortion?
I mean, I just work at a parts store. I really don't have a lot of money, and if her mom ever found out about that, I'm pretty sure she'd disown her because she's, you know, real religious. But if we don't get it, then that crazy nut of a dad that she has is going to, you know, start to notice stuff, you know, of the growing. And then he'll probably come hunt me down or something.
This is bogus. I ain't buying it.
Well, anyway.
I'm buying Brian's voice. Brian, something's wrong with your voice. It's bogus. I'm smelling it.
What do you mean?
It's not happening.
Well,
not
if
happening.
It is
now,
if it is happening,
not happening.
He's in big trouble.
I'm not Brian. It's not the story that I don't buy. It's Brian I don't buy.
Well, let's just hypothetically say this is going on. First of all, she needs to get into therapy. She needs to see a doctor. First of all, you're high risk at age 14. It's not just being pregnant like anybody else is pregnant. It's a high risk situation.
Really?
Yeah. So what? Medically. Because 14, your body's not ready to be pregnant, and you can have complications of pregnancy that you wouldn't get in later years.
All right, so what should he do?
She needs to get medical care right away. I don't know how far along she is, but...
He works at an auto parts store. He's going to make her drink Presto.
Yeah, well, no Presto, no hangers.
What?
Seriously.
What,
so, Brian, has she gotten to...
Parenthood, right?
Well, what? Yeah, but at 14, I don't know. She needs to get to a health professional.
Okay.
An OBGYN, a family practitioner, some entree into the healthcare system.
You have a Planned Parenthood somewhere around there. Open the phone book, find Planned Parenthood, and go down there. All right?
All right.
Take it from there.
Yeah, because if this is really happening, you know, there are very serious issues you're going to have to deal with in your life. I mean, you've done something that you obviously don't have the ability to comprehend the full scope of what's happened, what you've done, and I'm more concerned with her, and she you have fears about the pregnancy in terms of her getting kicked out of the house. Very unrealistic understanding of the situation. She needs to see somebody like tomorrow. That's a professional, a counselor, somebody that will know where to steer her. And
what do you sell at the auto parts store, Brian?
All kinds of parts, any part that anybody needs. Mm-hmm. But I don't make a lot of money for doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much do these planned pregnancies usually cost.
Just go down to Planned Parenthood and ask them what you should do.
It doesn't matter how much it costs because your butt's going to be in jail. I mean, that's, if this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy. And she needs medical care. It's like, you know, she's bleeding. What if she were bleeding right now, or she were unconscious? Would you be sitting there? Well, should I call 911 or should I get a TRW first?
She's very mature. She's very mature.
Yeah, right.
Listen, don't F any 14-year-olds, you idiots. And if you do, this is what happens. All right. We got to take a break. Bruce.
I'm outraged.
We're taking a break.
Seriously, that's very good. Disturbing.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. One last quick plug for this Cabin Fever. DVD is coming out on the 20th of January. That's Tuesday. Mm. This Tuesday, by the way. And here's the deal. You call on the show. You're 18 years of age or older, and you get on the air, and we give you a DVD. And then once we give you the DVD, your name goes into the hopper. And then what happens? Well, what happens is, in a couple of weeks, I reach into the hopper, and I pull my cousin's name out that I already put, because I put his name in there. And then, Ann's telling me to stop talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Good thing we got that dry erase board for Ann.
But you got to be 18.
Got to be 18.
Is your cousin 18?
Doesn't matter, because right, I'm going to get the tickets from him. I'm just giving him a couple. He's a junkie, actually. I'm just going to give my quick hit a horse. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to take the things, and I'm going to Whistler, Canada, which Drew, who's a skiing expert, Drew loves skiing so much, guess where he is right now?
Skiing.
That's right. And I, you know, what do I love? I love the kids. I love helping. He loves skiing. I love helping.
Painful erection will not go away.
That's why I don't know where Whistler is, but Drew knows it well.
Yeah, you know where the auto show is, and you know.
How dare you? The point is we'll give you 4 tickets. And you go the airfare, you go to the cabin, you get the lift tickets, you go to Whistler, you sit there in the cabin and wait to be slaughtered by whatever killed the kids in the Cabin Fever. So, got that coming up. Shiva.
Hi.
You're 15.
Yeah. Well, me and my boyfriend have been going out about 3 months now. And every time hook up.
How many months?
Huh?
How many months?
For about 3.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 30 months.
Every time we hook up, like, do, you know, oral sex or something, well, like, I'll be really into it while we're doing it. Like, I'll encourage it and I'll go along with it. But, like, after he leaves or, you know, just an hour later, I'll feel really disgusted and I won't want to talk to him for, like, a couple days.
Mm-hmm. Calling from La Crescenta, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to rent a house out there back in the
day. Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, good times. It's keeping it real.
You're keeping it real. You're a legend of debauchery and
off of Lake Street, I think, was my exit off
of
that.
I like the way she
there.
Said, so I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay, now do you have some sort of a moral value system you grew up in, a religious system which says that you shouldn't be sexually active before marriage type of thing?
No, I was raised an atheist, actually.
Yeah.
Any abuse issues? Were you abused or any kind of...
My mom's a social worker. So.
Okay, so listen, Shiva, here's the
wait
deal.
A second. What's
she's
that mean,
hippie parents, that's always trouble. Listen, here's why you feel... There's 2 reasons you feel guilty. One is you feel like you're compromising yourself. The other reason is you feel like the guy ain't really that into you, and maybe you're just appeasing him to keep him around. Is there any situation like that going on?
No, not at all. That's not it. I don't even really feel guilty. I'm just, like, grossed out. I don't know. It's weird. Like,
okay, and you were never... okay, well...
How old is the guy?
16.
Okay, here's the thing, then. Give it a break. Don't do it for a month. See what happens.
Yeah.
See how you feel. See if you miss it. See how he feels. I hate to cut the guy off, but If you're 15, you're on the cusp, you're performing oral sex, maybe it is a little bit young. Maybe you ought to just walk away for a few weeks and see how you feel.
Yeah, I know I won't get very far with the statement, but...
All right, then keep it to yourself.
Sex is not a recreational sport, as I have mentioned in the past. And you're better off going with your intuition. Something is telling you you're not ready for this, or it's just not right at this point in your life. And a lot of teenagers, when they're 14, 15, 16, aren't ready to have sex, and it's not... something that benefits him. It's not okay. Something that enhances a relationship. Right. You know, sex is not a recreational sport.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Oh, Dr. Spaz.
Oh, that must have been an expert in the field.
Yeah. An expert's going to be out in the field if he doesn't shut up.
You had your fun.
Madden?
Hello? 21.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Hey, thank you for taking
my
call.
What's happening? Listen, sorry to put you on so late. You've been on hold for 80 minutes. Blame Dr. Bruce. Your dad is an alcoholic.
Where's my bourbon?
And you want to know if you're likely to be one as well.
Yeah, he's been an alcoholic ever since I've been born. And my little brother, which is 14, he is like already drinking at his friend's house.
Okay.
And I've been pretty good until lately, since I've become old enough to drink. And a couple months ago, Drew was talking about the male's likelihood of becoming alcoholic, and I was wondering what mine was.
50%.
Because I've been raised around it, so I didn't know if it was.
Here's the thing, 50-50, that you or your brother has a gene, but that doesn't mean you're going to be an alcoholic.
Right, I was just wondering because, you know, I've been raised around it my whole entire life, so.
Yeah, okay. It's a genetic thing. There are other studies that show that depression is...
All right, quiet down. We got to take a break. We're running late. Sorry. You're screwed. Hey, look, here's the deal.
Don't drink. Don't use drugs.
Go to Al-Anon. To Al-Anon.
Absolutely.
Go to Al-Anon. We'll be back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank the great Dr. Bruce, a.k.a. Dr. Spaz.
Thank you. No, thank you.
A.k.a. the magic wand.
I haven't struck the mic all night.
It's what they call them in high school. Yeah, I do miss it. Punch it one time just because I missed Drew. Really? Yeah. Nice headbutt.
Oh.
All right, so tomorrow night, Stephen Baldwin will be in here from Celebrity Mole telling us all about who he hates. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.